it in the morning, hanging out with you guys, just covering again the reckless slaughter in Lebanon the Israelis are doing. I want to go into my dad's commentary on it. I thought that was very powerful. And then I just want to show you an example of something our military would never do, but they love to do over there. So go ahead and roll clip number two. That's Alex Jones, Lebanon clip. Let's go for that.
Netanyahu put out a statement before that show aired last night on Fox and said, we're not stopping. And they're still hitting Iran. They're still hitting Lebanon. They're still bombing and missiling all over the place. Some of the biggest attacks yet. Pull the headlines up. And so Iran's like firing more missiles, and Fox News shows it and says, oh, look, they violated the ceasefire without even saying that they're bombing them. The level of deception. And then Israel attacks first to drag us into this and says, now we have a moral responsibility to go save the Iranians when Israel and our government were giving them weapons and trying to do this overthrow. It failed. It failed, Mark. It didn't work.
All right, pause it right there.
You and Netanyahu and Trump.
So when he's talking about this, I think he's talking about, you know, the failed color revolution that precipitated the 12-day war originally and then the more ongoing conflicts after. And he's right. And this is something that I often point out, and this is something that – this is one of my weaker opinions, meaning like I know there's a strong argument for the other side, and this is something I would like to academically debate with anyone that's interested, anyone with the following and of note, like at Word War Debate or any one of these events that I'm involved in. I'm actually – real quick, I'm signed to the Contender Series on Word War Debate. Hopefully I'll be – my opponent will be announced pretty soon. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff like that for you guys, always staying active. But – you could say, oh, like they want the freedom. We're going to back to people that want the freedom. Are they really protesters if you give them an FPV drone with an explosive and an AK-47 and you're a CIA Mossad? Imagine if China was giving Antifa people rocket launchers. You see what I'm saying? Or go back to the clip.
Rise up. They'll be gone in a few days. We've been hearing that for 39 days. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the mullahs fall. I want to end this war. If that happened, I'll say, wow, a miracle. Still wrong to say you're going to kill everybody in the country. Still wrong to say you're going to bomb their water plants. Still wrong to have Israel running our foreign policy, regardless of whether this was right or wrong. It's wrong to have a foreign power doing this.
Yes.
And Mark Levin and all of them calling for all of us to be censored or taken off the air and calling me Joseph Goebbels.
Pause it. All right, let's pause. We'll leave it on him. Hold on. Because Mark Levin says that he looks like a camp guard, or he reminds him of a Nazi camp guard. My dad's a lovable guy. My dad would never hurt people in a camp. Mark Levin is the weak, slimy, little eel-like creature that would hurt people at a camp. My dad could never do that to anybody. Go ahead and play it.
It's un-American. No need to put her in a straitjacket and make fun of her. It's sad.
All right, pause it.
Laura used to be a sweeter girl.
All right, we'll go back to the rest of it after the break. I just want to show you that, and he's right. And people want to give the argument of, oh, but it worked out in our favor. It worked out this way. It worked out that way. It's like we were put in irons and thrown in a car and taken on a road trip, and then we were beaten. We were hurt. We almost died of starvation or dehydration in the car. And then after all said and done, we get tossed out of the vehicle. They go, wow, that was a great trip. And you're like, we never consented to go down that road with you, period. And that's what my dad is saying. And nobody's been more pro-Trump than my father. Nobody's been more loyal to the administration than my father. And you look where that's gotten us, both, you know, just the anecdotal example of us personally not getting help from the DOJ. And then you look at what's happened to the country now being dragged into the war. We have the right as Americans to demand more from our own government. And that's what this show has always been about. That's what it's going to continue to be about. Going to be more here after the break. Want to remind you, thealexjonesstore.com, the place you want to go for all your favorite vitamins, all your favorite supplements. We've got the methylene blue that you crave. We've got it available right now. Subscribe and save. Not sure if the deal's up right now. I think it's 72% off. Can you believe that? 72% off when you subscribe and save to the methylene blue. Got to check out zeolites as well, especially if you've got a heavy metal exposure. Got so many cool things on thealexjonesstore.com.
For as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years, and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives. like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
You're watching The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
You know, my father is a symbol of integrity to so many people around the world, and he's that symbol for a reason, and that's because for 32 years, and longer than that, for that matter, he's been saying the exact same thing. He's been consistent on his message, pro-humanity, pro-constitution, anti-war, human supremacy, human empowerment, going to the stars and beyond. That's what he's always talked about. And now people have the expectation for us to blindly follow Trump around like a lap dog and to do whatever he says and to roll over on our belly for supposed treats. I'm sorry. Were you ever really a fan of this program, if that's what you thought? Of course, I know our real audience out there. I know they agree with me, or at least understand what I'm saying here. But we were around before Trump. We weren't just MAGA. We were 1776, and we were MAGA because we thought MAGA meant 1776. So now we're here trying to figure out what all this means. Going to go back to this clip of my father, the legendary Alex Jones.
I don't even dislike her. She's very sad. It's disgusting. Zero Hedge is reporting that the Iranian news, and we've got it, it's confirmed, is saying they're planning a strong response to Israel for continuing to just blow up whole neighborhoods. I mean, five blocks at a time, just everybody's houses, just killing everybody. The news, little dead kids everywhere. I mean, this is just terrible. And it makes the Muslims look like the good guys. So I just cannot stand this. And I don't like being the bad guy. So I'm not going to support any of this. And I'm going to get more and more hardcore against it all.
Awesome. That's all we need to hear. Okay.
112 killed in Israel's devastating attacks.
Well, that's the point. And now to update, since the time of that, I believe that was early yesterday at around 11. Israeli strikes on Lebanon threaten the ceasefire. Lebanon's health ministry said at least 203 people were killed. So that's another 100 people killed, more than 1,000 wounded. And the number, I'm sure, is much higher now. And sure, the kill count or soon the kill count will be in the thousands. And, you know, then maybe the tap dance will begin. Maybe they'll be forced to, you know, pull out or at least temporarily withdraw, whatever they'll call it. But this is why everything going on right now is just, it's the absolute political apex, this absolute zeitgeist. This is literally the Super Bowl of hell and death and politics and blackmail. Everything, the Epstein file, the Iran war, Ukraine war, China attacking, us attacking South America, Monroe Doctrine, all of it. This is stuff that's always been theorized, always been talked about as what would happen, what would usher in multipolarity, how would the empire, I know it's declining, it's been declining for a long time, how would it fall? It'll fall because of stuff like this. It'll fall because we can't even control our very basic ally, our strongest ally. They should do what we say, no? Right? You think how it would work. But, you know, just like Rome, you know, like the Germans, they stopped listening to the Romans, and eventually they conquered the country, and Alaric came and burned everything down. So we're rehashing that. I want to go ahead and show clip number three. This is an example of stuff, and I'm sure you can point, and I know you can because I've gone over them. You can point to incidents of United States soldiers doing war crimes and whatever. This is completely different, though. All right, the modern age, we have a professional military. This is not like a special forces mission gone rogue or anything like that. This is like a normal run-of-the-mill soldier, just like we have an army soldier, just an IDF soldier, like heavy equipment guy, tank guy, whatever you want to call him. And it's him shooting a video for his wife of him blowing up some poor Palestinian's home. And, you know, he's like, I do this for you, for the destruction of Amalek, for Amalek. So we're backing people that literally they're like chimpanzees with military equipment. that are in a theocratic evil regime cult, which is what Israel is, not Iran. It's actually Israel that's more of a theocratic regime and a cult. But I want to go ahead and show this. I want you to look at the sick, degenerate glee on his face as he does this. Let's play the clip. My dear wife, Sarah, are you ready? There's going to be a big explosion. Ooh. To wipe off the memory of Amalek. To wipe off. Revenge. To take revenge of the Gentiles. Oh, pause it. Whoa. All right. So imagine if there were white people blowing up black people somewhere in Africa. And they were saying, oh, we're doing it to take revenge on these N-words. Do you not see how on its face, just flat out like that, that's evil and wrong? But because they're the chosen people, they get to be racist, like hardcore racist to the point where they want to genocide and kill the other people. What does he say? Actually, go back to the clip. What does he say about the Gentiles? What's the quotation there? We'll go back to that really quick because I want to make sure. Yeah. I was listening to that music too, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's so sneaky. To wipe off the memory of Amalek, to wipe off revenge, to take revenge on the Gentiles. Well, what are you taking revenge for? Are you taking revenge on the Gentiles? Oh, we have to blow them up more because they don't want to let us take their land and they're fighting against us. We're the oppressors. It's like, what's it? It's, oh no, I'm Darth Vader. Oh, the Jedi don't want to lay down and die. Like it's so insane. And you can look at the degenerate glee on his face. It's fun for him. It's happy making, just like George Soros said about being a Nazi collaborator. Being a Nazi collaborator was the best time of George Soros' life. He goes, it was happy making. It was the time to make you a man. Stuff like this on 60 Minutes. Proud of it. Okay, like literally like little Jewish bloodhound, like seeking out the Jews for the Nazis. And this is how you can know, like, here's the thing. History is blended. All right, there are some things that are real. There are some things that are fake. And you got to kind of look at the whole tapestry of things. Nazis were evil. All right. And why the Israelis are so evil now is they adopted that governmental system. And you'll see this often. They go, Jews, not so tough, not so easy to F with anymore or whatever. And like nobody wants to F with you. Everybody just wants to leave you the fuck alone. Oh, sorry, my bad. Everybody just wants to leave you the hell alone. Like period. Everyone just wants to. Sorry for cursing. Everybody just wants to leave you alone. Nobody cares. It's not a problem. I mean, think about it. Black people kill each other in the streets of South Chicago every weekend. All right, it's a massive, massive problem. Black on black crime, gang violence, murder, child murder, all of it. It's a war zone down there, okay? Where's that talked about? Where's the solution for that? Where's the national board to prevent black on black crime, to save our urban centers, to save the urban youth, to save the cities? We don't hear anything about that. But someone, probably somebody wearing a tiny hat, will go and spray paint a swastika on a building, and then that's national news for like 2 weeks. Yeah, like you can have like drill rap, like gang culture, King Von running around sliming people out every weekend. And that's like glorified and like that's promoted to that community because they want to destroy black people. They want to hurt that community. Just like they want to hurt everybody else. Why they're all our brothers, right? Like we're all getting hurt by these people. We're all getting hurt by this evil system, by the globalists that settled this whole thing up. But yeah, Chirac, thank you, Matt. I almost forgot. Yeah, like we're not even talking about our own Middle East, okay? We got our own problems over here. We got our own level of violence. It's just extreme. But like I was saying, if it's a swastika thing, or God forbid, we never want anybody to get hurt. We never want any religious organization to get targeted. It's horrible when somebody attacks a synagogue, just like it's horrible when someone attacks a church or a mosque or any place like that. Even like a Buddhist temple or anywhere people are going to nonviolently go and like engage in whatever they consider to be their spirituality or their religion, that's like literally enshrined in our Constitution to protect against, right? So really against it when that stuff happens. But when anything happens, okay, if someone like scratches their car, it's a national news story, but you can talk about King Von and Chirac and Pooh Shiesty and the insane gang crime and all of it. And that'll never get addressed. That'll never get talked about. Another example of that would be, how about instead of going to war with Iran, we went to war with the cartel? How about we spent $50 billion killing all the cartel people? Wouldn't that be a much better use of the funds? And maybe we could actually get that done too. Oh, but we can't have nice things because we have evil people in charge. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. All right, I want to go ahead and play clip number four. This is the opposition leader. This is like, I don't even know the example to give. I don't know, Chuckie Schumer or something on the Democrat side, if you're comparing like Trump being in power right now. This is the alternative leadership in Israel. Let's watch what they have to say about the dear leader, Bibi Netanyahu. Well, they don't like him. Citizens of Israel, in a few hours or a day or two, whenever he feels it's possible to come out of the bunker, Bibi Netanyahu will appear before the state of Israel and will try to sell you that the campaign in Iran was a success. That would be a complete lie. The army did an amazing job, the best air force in the world, did everything they asked of it, and more positive. Okay, so a lot's lost in translation here. Okay, I'm not trying to describe things to him that he's not saying, but is he talking about us? Like the greatest air force in the world did everything that we asked of them to do? So like they're our boss. We take orders from these people. Like I'm just going to go into it right now. Not one American plane, not one American soldier, not one American bullet, not one American drop of blood ever should be spent in the Middle East again, period. And if we had that attitude and if we approached them with honor about it, like Trump faked out and did earlier when he went to the Saudis and said, literally, we got to play. All right, I got to write it down. I got to write it down so I don't forget it. I got to write it down. Forgive me. Trump, Saudi, neocon address. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that advice, Matt. But here's the thing. Like, these things just get memory hold. Trump literally went over there and gave the type of speech that I'm describing where he promised no more neocon wars in the Middle East. And they're all happy in the audience. They're all clutching their heart. They're all smiling at Trump, whatever. Why couldn't we just do that for real? Seriously, why couldn't we just done it for real? If it was a good enough thing, a good enough idea to try to attempt doing it in the first place, Why didn't you stick the course, Trump? Why didn't you stay the course? All right, let's go back to the clip. The army did an amazing job, best air force in the world, did everything they asked of them, and more. The people of Israel showed national resilience and determination. We inflicted severe damage on Iran precisely because of this. The complete failure is even more striking. What happened here is a political disaster on a scale I can't remember. I was prime minister. I was foreign minister. I don't remember such a political breakdown. It has become clear that military power without a political plan does not lead to victory. Netanyahu led us to an equally strategic collapse. There was a blasphemous combination of arrogance, irresponsibility, lack of planning, faulty media work, zero care in the home front, lies that were sold to the Americans, and the damaged trust between the two countries, military success that turned into a political disaster. I agree with a lot of that, right? And that's very plainly obvious, plainly true on its face. I mean, America will never have the same bond that it had with Israel before because they spent all their political capital doing this, and it's the So he said the insane combination of arrogance and lying. I think in another clip he also says, not sure if he said it there, there's a lot of fast-talking stuff going on there with the desert language. Ugh, but I'm not sure if he says it there, but he's like, Netanyahu gaslit us and lied to us in a series of like theatrical press conferences. Well, who does that sound like? Well, who's getting this? Who's having the conversations and sharing the ideas on how to propagandize their people? Spoiler alert, Netanyahu and Trump, and look at his ears. Is he related to Marco Rubio? Maybe he's related to Marco. Look, he's like a Keebler elf, this guy. Those are like satellite dishes. I mean, he's got a contract with Dish TV. This is pretty crazy stuff. This guy runs the planet, y'all. This guy has more power than the president of the United States. This guy could end the world today if he chooses to. He has nuclear weapons at his disposal as I speak right now. He's probably talking about it. Look, yeah, it's like the same size. Actually, you know what? I think Satellite interference. Yeah, this is like when you get two magnets too close to each other. Look at the ears here. I think Marco's are bigger, though. I think they're a little bit larger. Very interesting. I've had people say I have big ears. My ears are normal size. Whatever. I don't have Marco Rubio-sized ears. But I'm going to get back to it. Let's see here. What was I going to say? Oh, let's go to the Israel wiped out Hezbollah chief's top secretary and fresh strikes on Lebanon. That's the article I wanted to go to earlier, but I forgot to. That's from New York Post. Israel says it wiped out Hezbollah's chief top secretary and targeted strikes in Lebanon overnight as it ramped up attacks Thursday, despite the risk of throwing President Trump's war ceasefire into turmoil. Ali Youssef Harsi, a secretary and nephew of the Hezbollah honcho Naeem Qassem, was killed in Beirut amid the fresh wave of bombings, the IDF said. And it's like, oh, like we killed somebody. Great military victory. And then the price tag on that is like 50 dead children in some like playground they blew up to kill the guy. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making things up. That's not hyperbole. That's the reality of the situation on the ground. I'm so sick of this. And it's all the bragging, too. It's at the same time, overnight, the IDF struck a series of terror infrastructure in southern Lebanon. Yeah, like houses, like schools, like grocery stores, like where people are being peaceful. We've all seen the videos, Pimp. We know you're lying to us, Mega. Like, we're serious about what's going on right now. Terror infrastructure in Lebanon. Crossings used to transfer thousands of weapons, rockets, and launchers, as well as weapons depots, launchers, and Hezbollah headquarters. Our message is clear. Whoever acts against Israeli civilians will be struck, he added. The fresh onslaught came after Israel launched its largest ever blitz on Lebanon on Wednesday, striking 100 targets in 10 minutes and killing more than 250 people. Airstrikes unfolded, and we've talked about this before, just after the Trump ceasefire. In response, Hezbollah, which initially said it would pause attacks on Israel, announced it would resume firing rockets Thursday. I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, and I just want to remind y'all of this again, of the situation of what's going on. The peace talks are still happening, even though the invasion of Lebanon is continuing. And this is going to be a topic of the talks, is what the Pakistanis have said, that everything can be addressed at the meeting. I've been checking literally hourly for updates from the Iranian sources on statements or on incoming missile attacks. And there have been, the strait is still closed and stuff is still going on, but it does appear that we've entered into some sort of lull in the conflict. And I don't know whether on Iran's side they want a little time to reposition. I don't know whether on the American side, like we're promising to cut bait with Israel Navy. Maybe we are negotiating with them. It's going to be very interesting to see. And I just want to reiterate again, all we have to do is stop. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is cut bait with Netanyahu and just let them deal with the mess that they've created. That's all we got to do. It's just so simple. And we don't have to have, and a lot of people talk about this, and I'm just like, come on, man. Everyone's like, we need to have a crusade because it's actually the Christian Holy Land and we have to take it back and we have to go do it. It's are you joking? Are you serious right now? We've been at war there for 30 years. Okay, we've killed millions of people in the Middle East. We lost thousands of American soldiers, tens of thousands killing themselves after what they've seen, witnessed, or forced to have done. Okay? And people are like, well, imperialism is good when we do it. And they point to like Venezuela, or they point to Greenland, or they point to an example like that where maybe you could argue for it. It's so far away from us. And it's in the middle of literally everything else. Every other country around the world, like every Eurasian country, has more of a claim there than we do, you know, to even interact with it. I wish that we could actually be an independent country and not a junior partner to a terrorist state in the Middle East that's completely bought out and betrayed our government. It really does suck. It's very sad. I want to go to clip number six, and this is another video of what's going on in Lebanon right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they bombed. Yeah, so that's just a normal person running around with a Snapchat filter, having fun on their phone, just like you, just like your daughter, just like your niece, just like your nephew, just like your cousin, just like your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents, your grandparents, just like a normal human being because they're humans, okay? And they're Christians as well, but that shouldn't even matter, okay? Because everybody's created equal. Everybody's created in the image of God. And they're literally just having bombs drop on their head. And they're having to run and scurry like rats into a building. And that's the thing is the dehumanization becomes made real when these people are bombed. Because it's one thing to call them Muzzies, one thing to call them Muzzy Pigs, like that guy that called in or whatever. It's one thing to call them brown people, brown clown. We don't care about brown people. It's white people only somehow. But then we worship the Jewish people in Israel who think that our God is boiling an excrement and all that. It's just all ridiculous. But you want to talk about those people. You want to call them racial slurs. You want to kill them too? Are you interested in that? You see this girl right here? You think she's a threat to your civilization, to your empire? You want to wipe her off the face of the earth? You want to pay for those bombs? Okay. All right. We're going to get people like you out of politics. Like, seriously. Like, we're going to work really hard at doing it. Anybody that's pro-death in 2 decades, we're going to make sure there's not a place for you anymore in our political system because these are human beings. And I say that every day. I say that 1,000 times because people need to hear it. They're people just like you and me, and they don't deserve this to happen. Okay, and we're being defamed too. All this is being done in our name. But it does reach a point where, like, silence is violence, and our ignorance of the problem is ultimately complicity in it, right? So that's what I rage against here on the show. I've got a lot more news coming up. I want to get into this as well. Eligible young men will automatically be registered for U.S. military draft. Oh, well, I thought that wasn't a problem. I thought everyone told me I was worried about that. Told me I was panicking. Told me that would never happen. You don't know. Well, you don't know anything about war, about Vietnam War. When I was your age, young man, shut up. Shut up. Go play pool somewhere, go play bingo somewhere, go stare off into the sun and watch a fistful of dollars on a tube TV somewhere, okay? Like we're the ones, the 18 to 24-year-old men that are just going to be shipped off immediately. And I'm in that group, like just going to be shipped off immediately if anything happens. And I just want to say, if you send me off to war, screw you. Seriously, you send anybody off to war, people that are volunteer military right now, screw you. And that's the thing. It's like, oh, the heroic rescue of the pilot, the heroic rescue of the pilot. We know that's all a cover up for the failed operation to seize the uranium, the Fast and Furious movie that they failed to do because Trump spent too much time at the cinema, right? We know the truth about that situation. They go, oh, the brave pilot rescued the brave pilot. The brave pilot shouldn't have been put in that situation in an illegal war where Trump lied and said they had no air defense. We're the ones on our side that are logically consistent being anti-war because we just want this to stop. There's no justification for any of it. And people on the other side, even if they're for a limited strike, they have to come out and admit the truth now. They support war. They support genocide. They support murder. They support death as long as they support our ally, Israel. So thank you very much. We're going to be coming back with Anthony Graffio, and I'm taking calls in the third hour. Looking forward to hearing from you guys today. We got more news to get into, more information, powerful broadcast. I love you all. See you after the break.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Rex Jones in the chair for you today, and I'm being joined by Anthony Graffio. Me and Anthony do a show called Conspiracy Talks every Tuesday on my X page, also on YouTube as well. Really appreciate you joining me, Anthony. We had a three plus hour conversation tonight about all the events that were unfolding. What's your take on what's going on right now? You're a very good news aggregator. You got any breaking news, any updates you want to give people? What's the situation look like?
Well, yeah, there's some breaking news that last night Iran was going to attack, but they actually stopped themselves from attacking to respect Pakistan. So if we're going to talk about moral armies, I would say that's the more moral army, right? Like, they had the ability to go and carpet bomb and honestly destroy Tel Aviv overnight if they really wanted to. But they still feel, because they are an actual religious backed place that believe in their God, to not do something immoral and to try to follow the ceasefire because they actually want peace.
Well, right. And we look at this whole situation, and like, the United States has proven that we are not a legitimate negotiating partner, because like, we've attacked in the middle of negotiations twice. You can argue, was it just Israel the first time? Of course, whenever the empire does something, like, we're like conjoined twins, like we're joined at the hip. Right. So like, we're both responsible. We're responsible for the 12-day war and this new invasion, of course. But we don't negotiate like Pete Hegseth said it himself. We negotiate with bombs. right? But these other nations actually want to have diplomatic relations with each other. They actually want to talk. They actually want to act like adults. And we go like, we're too cool for school, man. We'll just kill you. Like, why would we actually engage in international diplomacy and an actual framework going forward? And I think you're really seeing with a nation like Pakistan. I mean, Pakistan has nuclear weapons. They're not playing around. So it's good to see other countries coming to the table that are actually you know bringing some reality back to the situation. Your thoughts?
Well, our allyship with Israel really serves us nothing, right? Like, if we actually created some like coalition with Iran, they have so much more to give us, whether it's, you know, their natural resources, their oil. They're like, we've been sanctioning them for so long because of this lie, but like, there's so much money and so much partnership to actually be built there. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. And they're talking about Iran potentially being a $1 trillion economy because they say, look, all the oil infrastructure is from the 80s. Like, it's all ancient stuff because they've been sanctioned into oblivion. And this is the point I was making earlier on. We've already been at war with this country for decades and decades and decades, but just not in the way they say it. They say it like it's kinetic, like it's been this battle of where we're at war with Iran. We lost more soldiers fighting the evil Iranians. That's not what's been going on. We've been in a soft power war, a cold war, a sanctions war with these people.
Yeah, for a very, very long time. And it's truly sad because, like I said, Israel gives us nothing. We just give to them. Right. They're a cancer to us. They just completely suck us dry. They don't help us in wars. They don't give us any kind of resources. So it's like Iran is the superpower in the Middle East. And that's just the fact. And what Israel and what Netanyahu has said over and over again is that, no, we are going to become the super nation. And they mean that on a global scale. Like, they want to be the top dog. And like, this is a place the size of New Jersey. And the only reason that they're able to do this is because of blackmail and because of their nukes.
Yeah, I was about to say that, the nuclear weapon. And they need the nuclear weapon to mimic the natural power that Iran has, being such a big, powerful ancient civilization, right? They're a fake new civilization. They use the nuclear weapon as their crutch. But the price tag for taking out Iran, because Iran is so strong, it would require using dozens, if not hundreds, of nuclear weapons. And if you do that, your state ends as well. So, like, they're at a real impasse here. And I think that's why, you know, if they're saying, well, if we're not going to be able to move this way, if we're not going to be able to take you out like that, we're just going to go up north and try to take Lebanon. Like, there's like, we're going to take what we can get. We're going to smash and grab whatever. We don't care. Why are they doing this?
Well, that's always been the plan. You know, I think Iran has been the smokescreen. Well, not just a smokescreen, because Iran will actually attack them back if they just go and try to genocide Lebanon like they did Gaza, you know, because there's partnership there. And Iran is a superpower military compared to Israel. If America wasn't involved at all, then they would be destroyed by tomorrow. Right. But of course, we are their, you know, little goys that have to go and fight for them. But I think it's because, like, Lebanon is a part of the greater Israel project. And they're just, you know, they're like Pokemon. They're trying to collect it all over there. They're trying to rebuild Babylon. So,
yeah. Well, you know, let's go to the Pokemon trainer himself, Netanyahu. You know, we're all little Goyim inside of the Pokeball. Let's go ahead and roll clip 8, Netanyahu clip. I want to get your reaction to this, Anthony.
We have changed the face of the Middle East in favor of Israel dramatically, and will continue to do so because we are the initiating side. We are the fighting side. And with the help of God, we will be the side that wins.
So we're the aggressors, we're the initiators, we're the fighting side, we're the people that create all the problems. Your thoughts?
Yeah, like I said, they think that they are going to become the superpower of the world, you know, and their god is Baal. So they're praying to Satan. You know, this is what they practice over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not a conspiracy. This is what they practice, what they've been practicing a long time. But they want to become the superpower. They want to have all the power. And the only way that they have that superpower is by keeping America. So once the MAGA coalition falls apart and we actually have real people that are going to stand up against Zionism, the entire control that they have in our country will fall apart very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And you look at it, and Netanyahu's even come out and said this. They go, look, this is the last time that we're going to have this political capital. This is the last time we're going to have all these old people that have been raised on the Scofield Bible and the dispensationalist theology. This is going to be the last time we're actually going to have them wound up to the degree where we can get them, the golem, to attack, right? Because the young people, people under the age of really 50 or 40, it's over with. Like even people my age, like dads and stuff, like it's over with those people as well. Like we've broken with it completely. A large portion of Gen X has broken with it completely. Even some of the boomers have, because the boomers will come after me. They'll go, Rex, like you have to stop. Like we hate the war too. And I'm like, damn, it's hard to just lump everything together, but it is this power block in this country that was really like refined and cultivated and formed like a bonsai tree to support this one very strange, very weird. Actually, think about it. Here's the thing. We're over in America. We have this entire American history of the conquest and clash of civilization with Native Americans, of Revolutionary War, freedom from Britain, the Civil War, and slavery ending and all of that, and then the migration towards the West, the Manifest Destiny, all that stuff. We don't care about that stuff at all. We care about Israel somehow, because the modern state of Israel is the same as the one in the Bible, even though our Bible, New Testament, what it tells us is the temple's destroyed, is not to be rebuilt. It's not our story. It's not our problem. And if they wanted to be crazy lunatics and just fight these wars themselves, then you know what? In the same way I'd look at Iran and say it's not our problem, I would say it's not our problem as well. We set all of this up. Maybe talk about the Balfour Declaration a little bit if you get into that.
Yeah, I think like Theodore Herzl and all these people that created modern state of Zionism really knew what they were doing by naming that spot Israel. You know, this was an entire plan to trick Zionist Christians into falling for this. This has been something that's been going on for a long time. And yeah, the Balfour Agreement, you know, a lot of like wing nats and stuff are like, oh, you know, Hitler and da da da. But like he kind of made the deal for them to go over there. Like,
yes.
So you really got to take that into consideration there, right? It's like, oh, the place that they're ruling from and still like destroying just the modern civilization of the world was given to them by the guy that was genociding them. Like, you know, it's an interesting ploy there. But I think, like I said, they knew exactly what they were doing by saying, oh, we're going to name it Israel. We're going to, you know, basically tell people that this religious ethno state is where the Jews are supposed to be. But then there's a lot of other Jews that have a conflicting argument who are more probably understand the religion. And they're saying like, no, we're supposed to be scattered through the earth. We're not supposed to have a homeland. Like it says in the Torah, like we're not supposed to have this homeland. And, you know, the Zionist Christians, they only get stuck in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the prophecy of Christ to come. Now, these people, they rejected Christ, right? They rejected the Lamb of God. Right, they're the ultimate sacrifice because they want to keep on sacrificing animals.
It's the rejection of the Old Testament as well. It's the rejection of the Old Testament. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And these Zionist Christians, they like the one thing that they always pull out on you is Genesis. It's like, hey, buddy, that's the beginning of the book. There's so much more.
We were watching that, man. We showed it at the beginning of the broadcast for people that had been watching the whole time. We were talking a little bit before I was talking to the audience about the Misfit Patriot Harrison debate and just like how ridiculous all that was. And he's like, well, I believe in Genesis. Do you believe in the gospel?
Okay.
Do you believe in the epistles? Like, do you believe in what Jesus said about the temple? Because the people on the side that you support, they want to rebuild the third temple. Like, it's time for a drink. You know, that's got to be included in my intermission screen going forward.
I love it. Shows.
Man, and just look at Harrison. Look at how Harrison's looking into the camera.
Swag.
Are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? But yeah, man, I want to show you something else. I want to read you this article here, getting into another topic that's not just like Israel and the war. Anthropic's Claude Mythos model sparks fears of AI doomsday wave of devastating hacks. Anthropic has triggered alarm bells by touting the terrifying capabilities of Claude Mythos, with executives warning that the new AI model is so dangerous it would cause a wave of catastrophic hacks and terror attacks if released to the wider public. In a nightmarish analysis, Anthropic itself revealed that Mythos, if it fell into the wrong hands, could easily exploit critical infrastructure like electric grids, power plants, and hospitals. The model has already found thousands of high-severity vulnerabilities, including some in every major operating system and web browser. So like our entire civilization right now balances on the head of a pin, and we have these massive wars, these massive conflicts, whether it's Ukraine, Russia, whether it's US, Israel, Iran, We have all this stuff going on right now, all in the middle of Trump passing a 10-year ban on any sort of oversight, any sort of AI regulation, wiping it all out. And then these companies are creating tech that can literally destroy modern civilization as we know it. And then people aren't even talking about this. What are your thoughts on this?
So, like, before this war, I was super just loud about the police state that's being built in our country, this technocratic police state. You know, you have people like Larry Ellison saying that they don't need cops anymore, that they can use AI and send a drone to your house. Like, this is pre-crime, Minority Report. Like, this is all coming for our country. And Donald Trump is 1,000% complicit in it. He's giving these people the keys to the kingdom to build this infrastructure in our country. And AI, what is it even doing for us, really?
Right.
What does ChatGPT do for me? Nothing.
Right.
Like, maybe I'll ask it a question about health once in a while.
Isn't it fine, like, as is
random.
As well? Isn't it good enough? Right?
Yeah.
Like, what else do we need?
Nothing. There's literally nothing there. I think this is just a way for them to create this new Bolshevik revolution in our country where they'll be able to take over a lot easier if they have drones and AI and
yes.
able to have capabilities to just, you know, like in what they did in Palestine. Palestine was the testing ground for this with Project
yes.
Lavender. I think that that's what's coming for America. And that's a very scary thought, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's why we talk about the struggle of the Palestinian people. And I'll always be proud to say free Palestine. And that's a very simple statement. That's a statement of humanity and civil rights. Okay. And like anyone that disagrees with me, need to examine what's been done to those people, because it's what's going to be done to you as well at home. What they want the AI for, of course, is for two reasons. They've had the mass surveillance, the mass collection of data basically forever. They figured that out, but they never had the means before to actually run through everything with a fine tooth comb. They could investigate everything, pull everything illegally, warrantless wiretap, you name it, but they actually had to have a starting point. They now have a Minority Report AI system that's plugged into everything. It's an AI of everyone's thoughts and dreams, like my dad said, and that's how they're going to be able to do the pre-crime of, oh, you have the illegal opinion, we're going to take you out. Citizen number 9,873, you're going to the gulag pit. The other reason is they need the AI to be the soulless drone pilot for the robot dogs with the gun turret, for the FPV drones, for the crowd control drones, all that stuff that's coming down the pipe that they're working on right now. I mean, I talked about this before, and this story basically got zero airtime. They've already deployed humanoid robots to Ukraine. Okay,
yeah,
so
I saw that.
All of this is being tested right now. Right now. Your thoughts on that, Anthony?
Yeah, I think that they'll sell it to people like the movie Ready Player One, you know, like you're going to live in this like utopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, this utopia where you can go and be an avatar of whoever you want to be.
You don't really need
to spend time.
Yeah, because you can't be a hero in real life. You can't be proud of going outside and forest bathing and seeing the grass, seeing the stars, playing with your dog, having kids, having a life. You can't have that. You got to be some sort of like commando in a video game hellscape online. And that's really like that's what the demons want to do, is they want to drag us down to their level of existence. Which is a fake projection. It's not real because they don't actually exist in the same way that we exist. They don't actually they don't have free will like we do. They want to remove that aspect of free will from us, and that's such a raw deal, is it not? Who wants to take that deal?
Yeah, man. Everybody's trying to play God. You know, they're trying to create this their own system where they can be God. And I think that this is also a part of like the transhumanist movement to like turn us into like these cyborg robots.
Sure.
And I think that if you accept this, this is basically like accepting the beast system, because you're letting yourself be created into a beast, you know?
Sure.
It's a real scary time that we're living in. And I really hope people reject this stuff. You know, I do see just a little white pill. I do see a lot of people are not really interfacing with AI as high as they want them to be. So,
well, let me go ahead and read the article, because it's so insane. The first part of the article, we went over how dangerous this is. It can target critical infrastructure, it can hack everything. Listen to this. Rather than a wide release, Anthropic, led by their CEO Dario, has unveiled Project Glasswing. Now, what's Project Glasswing, you might ask? That's the plan to provide the model to a handpicked group of about 40 companies, including Amazon, Google, Apple, NVIDIA, CrowdStrike, and JP Morgan Chase, which will receive early access to Mythos. Oh, so they can, oh, it's so loving and liberal. So they can use it to find and fix security flaws.
Mm.
Oh, the corporate-only rollout is likely Anthropic's, oh, it's the best possible way to give it to the good guys to patch the holes, but not to the hackers. Most likely, of course, there's going to be leakage. Any level of restriction is preferred over complete open access. Ideally, I would love to see this not developed in the first place. Whoa. Okay. So the AI safety researcher says he doesn't want to see this developed in the first place, and it's not like they're going to stop. Well, shouldn't there be a mechanism to make them stop? If they're coming out with something that they're saying is incredibly dangerous, that shouldn't be released to the public or anything, shouldn't we do something about this? But no, we have to win the weapon war, the AI war against China at any cost, even if it means we're the ones that make Skynet that blows the planet out. It's Terminator. It's literally Terminator. Listen to this. That's exactly what we expect from these models. They're going to become better at developing hacking tools, biological weapons, chemical weapons, novel weapons we can't even envision. Think about that. What do you think?
It's disgusting. Well, I think that they just want to create a state that is just killers. You know, they just want to, even Trump said it, like he wants to become a militarized civilization. You know, he wants to boost up the military spending bill to trillions of dollars. They want to make these robots. They want to have these AI systems. Like, who are we trying to fight against? I thought like this is the peace president. There's going to be the board of peace and all of this stuff. So why do we need all of this technology to go and fight wars? Like Palantir is a war company. They're not a tech company. They're a war company.
Yes.
Okay. They are a militarized war company, and it will be used against the American people. You know, I don't want to go off on a tangent about ICE or anything, but ICE is implementing that system. They're the testing ground for that on us, right? They're testing the whole entire – because they have like I think a $30 million contract with Palantir to find illegals, right? But that always gets turned around against us, as you know from being – from this lifestyle for so long, you know what they did with the Patriot Act.
Sure.
First it was for terrorism. It's always first for terrorism. It's always first for the illegals. It's first always for the bad guys. It always gets turned around to the American people.
Yeah, no, they want to get their foot in the door. And you think about all this stuff, we could have been, and we could still be, and that's what we're pushing for, always solution-based. We could be the nation that ushers in a new age of non-proliferation when it comes to these like evil AI models, where we're actually, instead of doing these wars, we're doing diplomacy. We're doing like emergency summits around the world with the world leaders. You could say, oh, Russia and China will never listen and blah, blah, blah. How do you know that? Have we ever tried? Have we ever tried once? No. All we've ever done is try to scam and rob these people. But if we're actually able to say, hey, New START treaty expired. Now there's no limits on the nuclear weapons for U.S. and Russia. China already is massively developing. There are already huge stockpiles of nuclear weapons. We're expanding ours. The Russians are also retooling theirs as well. Why do we have to do this? Why can we just not come together and say, okay, that was crazy. It's time for arms control. Let's get rid of these nukes. Let's get rid of these bioweapons. Why do we need bioweapons labs? Can someone explain? Because if we don't have bioweapons, they're going to have bioweapons, and we're not going to know what to do, and they're going to want to kill everybody. We're the ones that set all this up. And when China does something like COVID, we're the ones that allow it to happen. You know, Fauci funding the Wuhan lab and all of that, gain of function. Like, it's just like every time you point at one of these countries doing something to us, it's something that we help them do to further our own interest. Do you not see that?
Yeah, we're the aggressors all the time.
Yes.
Like we've always been the aggressors. We've always been trying to be the bully and go over there and do what we want to that country. Like you could say whatever you want about Muslims. I know you went on your little tangent before about it, but it's like really you have to understand something. Like Muslim people, they just want to be left alone. Yes. Like they don't like it's just like such an insane thought to think that people say, "Oh, Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism for 47 years. They've been trying to get us." Well, why haven't they gotten us?
Right.
It's 47 years. That's a long time, man. That's a long time. If they wanted to build a nuke and all of this rhetoric that they're saying, they would have done it. They have some of the smartest aerospace scientists, okay? Right. If they wanted to make a nuke, they have the uranium to do it and they have the scientists to do it. They don't want to be the aggressors. They want to be left alone. They want to have their own civilization. They want to believe in their God. They want to do what they want to do. And there's just so much propaganda that's behind this entire thing. And that's always how it is. You know, it's the same thing with Saddam. bomb. It's the same thing with Gaddafi. We're always lied to. We're always put into this propaganda situation. And really, in my opinion, it really comes down to what happened with 9/11. You know,
go into that a little bit. We got like 3 minutes here. Go ahead and go into that for a little bit, if you would.
Well, yeah, for sure. Well, I just think that, you know, so many people got turned against Muslims during the whole entire 9/11 thing, when in reality it was Israelis that did it to us. You know, that they've always been our true common enemy, and they are using divide and conquer tactics to separate the world while they control the entire board. And this is something that they've been doing for a long time. And so many people in America are under this propaganda to think that these people that live in the Middle East are just sand people.
And I just had this other thought. We always talk about wanting people to assimilate and to respect our culture and whatever. Like, I would love to be able to go visit countries like this. You know, I'd really love to be able to do it. But my government defames me with my own name, with my own money, and bombs these people. And it creates this relationship where America, like, even though we want to be people's friends around the world, the citizens do, like, it's just, can you imagine that, having to deal with just some like fat American that shows up and your house was blown up 10 years ago. And you're just like, just imagine that, the arrogance on our part, thinking that we know better about other people's homeland. We barely know anything about our own. We don't protect our own values over here. We don't protect our own freedoms, our own rights. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's straight up what we're living right now, is just propaganda war, psyop war. You know, these people are very civilized people. They are very smart people. They have very high IQs. They have amazing infrastructure. And it's very traditional over there. They're traditional people. You know, we only believe that it's like, oh, they're putting women in burqas and this and that. You can go look at a video of a mall in Tehran, and you can see women are walking without burqas on. They're not walking around like the women over here that are dressed like they're going on to an OnlyFans shoot.
But they're not. They're dressed modestly. They have the hair out. Like, I've seen it. I watched Max Blumenthal's documentary on it. Everything we're saying here is true. And if you're here in the Saudi area, you disagree with us or whatever, we're not asking you to believe us by faith. Go watch Max Blumenthal's documentary on Iran. I mean, look, they just blew up a synagogue, and there's photos of the Jewish leaders in Iran just like standing in front of their synagogue that was blown up by the Israelis. Okay.
So, you know, I have a theory on that.
Yeah. What?
Real quick, if I could, I have a theory on that real quick. I think they did that on purpose.
For sure.
I think they did that on purpose because they probably see Jews in Iran as traitors. Like, what are you doing over there? You know what I mean? We'll make an example.
Well, it disproves the lie on its face that all Iranians want to kill all Jewish people. We know that's not true. They have a huge Jewish population. We're going to get into all of it and more. Your calls after the break. Rex Jones, Anthony Graffio, American Journal.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself, as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now, here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America is 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealexhostore.com.
I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. We've taken the info this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over body thing, thealexhostore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.